information where unknown forces strike the edge of ecology.
Technocratic times. Over the last few years, we have become enmeshed in a virtual grid of passwords, identity numbers, security questions, vetting, verifications, and bureaucratic complexity. Endless forms ask the same question, with different criteria on each, so the system traps one in an impossible convolution. A system designed by those who seem to take a perverse pleasure in constructing and running such a network of petty rules and regulations, procedures, deadlines, scrutiny, sanctions, and rulings. Whether through the finance sector, tax and benefit systems, public transport fares, or the workings of mass communications, what should and could be straightforward tasks become a mind trap for the left brain, logical way of thinking, without the balance of sensibility that a holistic, right brain approach would bring. The connected ways of nature are suppressed in the obsession with techno-surf and pedantic administration. Pop-up icons on the internet disrupt communications on what was understood to be an easy, instantaneous system, while online forms cannot accept addresses or data entered in a format that varies from the expected. One must live in a city, for example, whether or not one does. A warning will flash up saying required information if anything is missing. This may seem a helpful intervention, but if one decides not to complete the relevant section, the entire form is void and will not be forwarded. Paper forms allow omissions and a certain amount of leeway, such as the marginal note to clarify points where a simple yes or no are the given options. Obscure figures known as decision makers have the final say when it comes to the benefit system, becoming creatures of this technocracy. Systems meant to help the public can become appalling nightmares of over-literal rules and subjective interpretation. Take the British system of tax credits, which sound like a tax rebate but actually offer direct payments to those on lower incomes. This sounds like a benefit, but the money can be clawed back should future earnings rise. They are, in effect, a kind of ambivalent loan where the issue of repayment is an unknown factor. In other words, the money can never be accepted in full confidence that it has been truly granted. The system's complexity means that the very sectors of society who are meant to gain are the very ones who become confused. In technology, the word digital has become something of a mantra. It is added to virtually every form of media, whether books, images, photography, graphics, radio, music, television, film, or video. Arts bodies cry for digital creators rather than plain creators who may or may not use such techniques. This attitude sidelines the very analog media that created the industries in which they prosper. The prefix E is deployed to give anything the gloss of the electronic and modern, whether email, e-commerce, or e-books. Physical books are disparaged by trendy media types, who in no way represent the consensus view. These digital fascists spout the most banal ideology, becoming puppets of the latest craze. While electronic products have their place, a rich existence can only be led by seeing their place in a line of descent from earlier media. In addition, the intimate and focused study of a printed book is far more absorbing than the reading of an electronic page, however sophisticated, since the manipulation of a gadget in order to read the text means that one is forever the operator of an interface rather than the dedicated reader of an author's thoughts. The cutting of library hours and even their closure only worsens this tendency. Justifications are made extolling the virtues of e-books and internet cafes to replace the solidity of service provided by the library and the love and utility of traditional books. The author of the popular children's series Horrible Histories has disgracefully taken this line, calling all who still wish to read paper books Luddites. This is an old and easy smear, made even more ironic from one who supposedly cares about popular history, using it to insult his readers. Presumably, he would have no sympathy for the genuine Luddites who had real concerns about the impact of weaving machines on their craft and livelihoods. Yet we are expected to discard centuries of practice in a few years, as the thrust for financial cuts combines with the impact of new technology. The artist Tacita Dean has defended traditional film technology with her installation at the Tate Modern Gallery, London, during the winter of 2011-12. This used 35mm cinema film to project a huge vertical image of natural and abstract subjects into the gigantic turbine hall. Dean has stated that the very laboratories used to process such film have been rapidly closing, as in the case of stills photography. "We are throwing away more than 100 years of knowledge at a ridiculously accelerated pace. In the case of film, no more than a year or two. It was the Odeon chain's decision to go digital that virtually wiped out real film in Britain, although many cinemas abroad are still analog only. Digital television has been made the only option throughout the UK during 2012, with the switching off of the analog signal. The idea is to sell the bandwidth for other services to use, most likely mobile phone companies. However, much older television equipment has been made redundant. Black and white televisions have been left in a particularly strange place, still requiring a license but potentially unable to receive the new signals. Freeview boxes may not be compatible with these or older colour televisions, leading to a wasteful redundancy of technology. The BBC is still largely funded by a license fee, but its archaic rules have not changed to encompass the digital deluge. Supposedly, one must have a license to watch live TV via a mobile phone or the internet, even if the programmes have not been produced by the BBC. Indeed, even if the programmes come from abroad. While good public service broadcasting is to be lauded, such a cumbersome system, with its potential to criminalise, is the shadow behind the smile. Equally, many BBC shows are hardly worth their funding and push the agenda of technocracy and commercialism. Larger and larger screens dominate living rooms and public places such as pubs. Their bright images can have a semi-hypnotic effect, intensified by dumbed-down programming and loud presentation styles. Remember the simple electrical beauty of Piccadilly Circus in London with its colourful neon advertising signs? These have been swept away in favour of vast television screens, literally wrapped around the buildings. Their ugly, brash graphics pay no heed to the context of the historical circus, imposing on the architectural forms rather than enhancing them as before. A commercial dream had always been on offer, but with a certain amount of charm. Now the charm has been dropped for the hard sell. Political parties also need to be sold, but too often are the ones to sell out. All promise change, but are either deliberately or unwittingly a part of the same agenda. The media encourage us to care about issues, yet the political process disempowers us through unfair voting systems, clumsy boundary changes, and, worst of all, treacherous politicians. The green movement has largely been captured by carbon, becoming less of a reforming voice than it had been. A curriculum vitae, or CV, is invariably required to gain employment. One is forced to summarise one's life onto a couple of sides of paper, in a format largely determined by the employers or society at large. Again, it is a coercive imposition of behaviour, for missing periods of time are seen as gaps on the CV, meaning there can be little privacy when it comes to difficult periods of time which one might wish to forget. The general acceptance that one must have a CV downplays individuality. Children increasingly use computers in school at younger and younger ages, reducing social and other skills such as writing and reading in depth. Lessons become exam-led rather than an exam being a reflection of achievement. The nature of examinations has turned from a check and balance to an objectified driver of education, to which all lessons and activity must defer. Subjects are consequently splintered into distinct, separate areas with no free learning or correlating of varied disciplines and topics. We learn that everything has its place, but that clearly includes ourselves. We are taught to live in the system.
Where unknown forces strike the edge of ecology.